Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, copy guidance. Okay, we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot delta H. I'm going around the horn. Make your go-no-goes based on the data you have prior to LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
Jinsey.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue. PDI.
Coming to you live from the slopes of the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country and in the paranormally active shadow of Mount Rainier, it's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your hosts, John Almada and Kat Lang. Getting towards the end of July, and tonight we've got a pretty good show going on. Hello, Kat. How are you doing?
I'm good. You?
Yeah, just got done with a case. Was out last night working on the Sierra Nevada house. It's a haunted hotel over in Coloma, and did some investigation with my team there, and it was interesting. We had some unexplained EMF readings, and we did get some EVP, but it was not, you know, the most active place we've ever been, but there was some stuff that happened there, and we're not done with our evidence yet, but a lot of stuff going on, though, as far as, you know, things with GRI. We spent the last week doing a bunch of reorganization of our case files, and I was really surprised at how much data we had. We had well over 100 gig. And so I completely rebuilt the case system for the team and set up a, for those of you who are running your own paranormal research groups, I found a freeware product called ParaDB, and it's based on the PHP platform. So for those of you who know what I'm talking about, it's a database-driven web case tracking and reporting system. And if you've got the moxie to, you know, put your own database up and install something like this, it's a pretty good product. It lets you basically track your own cases and have your team members remote in, log into the system, and then it'll basically bring organization to chaos, which is always the problem with going out on so many cases. As a matter of fact, I counted, we've been on well over 70 cases now. So we have a backlog, and for the first time, though, I've got a pretty good handle on things with this little tool that was written by a group out in your area, Kat. So it was, I believe they're out of Seattle. So if you just look up on Google ParaDB, recommend that to anybody who's struggling with their caseloads just like us, and I'm really happy with it. So I've got a big push to train our team on how to use it, and it'll help us get at least the reports well ordered and done. Tonight we're going to have my good buddy Sharon Coyle from Journey Paranormal. And I'm not sure if she's going to have any of her other team members on, but I know Sharon's going to be on for sure. And just basically got back July 11th, 12th. I hunted with her on USS Hornet, spent my 50th birthday there. And she brought me out the biggest birthday cake I've ever had. So it was really great, and we had a great hunt there. She has some pretty good evidence, I think. She sent out an email earlier. It looks like she might have gotten an actual photo of an apparition on the ship. So we'll get her to talk about that and go into some of the things that Journey Paranormal is doing. Matter of fact, just briefly, she's going to be doing some, I believe, some live webcasts over at the Warner Grand Theater, and I've been trying to get down there to go hunt with those guys and spend some time there. And I hear a beeping noise. Okay. And let's see. She's also got some courses that she's going to be teaching, just similar to what we're doing. I'm going to be teaching some EVP analysis courses and have developed basically a curriculum of our own. So we have some similarities that we independently were both coming up with similar type things. I'm going to be teaching a class to a local 4-H group here in September, teaching them how to do EVP and then go out in the field and actually record their own stuff and how to track it and properly store it. That's part of the reason I got so organized on my cases. I realized I'd better be preaching, practicing what I preach. That said, let me see, we're 6 minutes in, and I wonder who all is here tonight. It's not a busy night. Oh, well, we got a lot of guests. Hello, Journey Paranormals out there. We got, hey, Sal, my buddy Sal. Hey, Sal, good to see you. I haven't seen you out there for a while, my friend. And we got ATRA Radio. Hello, guys. And K9 Cope and Mind and Miss T. And we got some guests, 3075 and 3204. Yeah, salute to you guys. So we're going to go ahead and go into the paranormal news of the week. And what we've got, actually, I'm in the aerospace business, and specifically I'm in the propulsion business. Been in and around that my entire life, so not quite a paranormal story, but we always take interest in things that come out of research and development in the propulsion world. So I thought I'd just kind of throw this at you guys. On our show page, if you go out to the GRA website, there's a radio button at the very top of that, and it'll have all these news stories if you ever want to reference those. But tonight we're going to talk about a new ion drive that could get us to Mars quickly. And just a brief read here is, it's a revolutionary new space propulsion system that may get us to Mars a lot faster. The biggest hindrance to a manned Mars mission is the sheer amount of time it takes to get there, basically six months using conventional rocket engines. All that time, the astronauts are going to be subjected to harsh solar radiation, and one storm could kill them all, is basically the problem we've always had in this notion of interplanetary exploration. So, but a new twist is coming along with ion propulsion, which has been used for some time by NASA. And with the addition of a nuclear propulsion, or a nuclear reactor, with some tweaks to how this particular system would have its thrust controlled and the amount of thrust it would put out, the time could go down to 6 weeks, which is just astonishing. So we basically could see the notion that in a matter of maybe 10 years, it's possible that we could be actually living on and populating, the inner reaches of the planetary system that we're on. You know, so I mean, it's entirely possible that Mercury could be inhabited, and Mars definitely could support itself and have its own bases and things like that. So this is really amazing stuff, and we live in a really historic time. And I just can't say enough good things about some of the things that are going on. So the company that's doing this is AS Astra Rocket Company, doing this new ion engine, and it's really neat to see these little small potatoes companies that are coming in, and they're staking their future on a really radical concept. and they're giving seed money, and they go off and they do these things, and it could really change the future of humanity. So my hat's off to these guys, because it's just amazing the stuff that they're doing. So go ahead and check that out and read up on that. That's out on the GRI site. Click the radio button up at the top, and you can see the links down below. Another one here that kind of the – this is England's Highgate Cemetery from our good friends at theexaminer.com in San Francisco. It says England's Highgate Cemetery should embrace its paranormal possibilities. And basically the gist of this article is that this it used to be a big no-no in Britain to talk about the ghosts. And it turns out, you know, with all the things that, you know, that have happened in the last 10, 15 years of the paranormal, you know, kind of, you know, taking center stage, most of the government organizations there and government-backed historic sites are more than willing to talk about their ghosts. But it says here, a marked exception remains Highgate Cemetery in North London. Opened in 1839, it is London's premier necropolis, where over 100,000 famous and ordinary folk have been interred in tombs, great and small. And in 1975, it had fallen into a ruined state when it was taken over by a charity. Friends of Highgate Cemetery, who have exerted total control over the site ever since, host around 30 to 40 burials each year, and the custodians have displayed a marked hostility to any expression by visitors in the supernatural who come to visit the cemetery. Latest group to encounter this were members of the American-based Tours of Terror group, who visited in May 2009 and were pretty upset when they had a ghost tour sign in the window of their coach and were told by the cemetery that they had to sign an agreement saying that they would never publish anything about Highgate Cemetery ever again. And I guess some of the reason for this goes back quite a ways, back into the 1970s, when a woman named Mrs. Jean Pateman, active in Highgate Cemetery affairs since 1975, and who's been renowned for her animosity to any visitors expressing any interest in the supernatural, she basically kind of took this position because of some of the misnomers that got around about the cemetery. Evidently, there were things that were going on in the 60s and 70s regarding rumors of the supernatural, ghosts, black magic cults, and vampires being seen at this cemetery. So evidently, it's kind of a misguided effort that they've gone completely 180 the other way, and now it's sort of a they've staked their territory and said no talk about it whatsoever. Anyway, this article goes on to talk about, hey, maybe it might be time to re-examine their policies, and it sounds like it's, you know, I think they're coming from a place where they're really caring about the cemetery, but at the same time, you know, they're missing out on an opportunity, and you know, now that the attention's being called to them, they have a shot at maybe even getting a little more support for the facility. So I hope that somebody kind of brings them into the 21st century paranormal world. That said, let's move on to our third and final story here, and we're coming up at 8:13 after the hour. Paranormal LA, 2009. Since we got our good buddy Sharon is going to be out there talking with us, I figured we'd go find something paranormal in the Los Angeles area. And this is from is a collective effort from the editors at ghosttheory.com. So mark that one down. Go check that out, ghosttheory.com. They put this together in order to present the Los Angeles public with a more sound and logical approach to the paranormal and cryptid creatures throughout the world. And Paranormal LA's mission is to present lectures and talks to the public that come from prominent individuals who approach the subject in a skeptical, logical, and open-minded manner. Yahoo! These guys are great. So, let's see. As editor-in-chief for GhostTheory.com, Javier Ortega brings a basic journalistic approach to the field of parapsychology and cryptozoology, interviewing researchers and looking for the truth in the stories that are reported to the media. And that's what Ghost Theory is all about. So they don't publish all about ghost hunts. They're writing true analytic reports and articles, I guess, on this. So go ahead and check this out. Now, the actual conference is going to be a three-hour event in the city of Santa Monica, And the best part here, when I went to their website, which I don't have it the link up yet, but ParanormalLA.com. It's all run together, no underscores or anything. ParanormalLA.com. And if you go out there, they're going to have Lauren Coleman, Linda Godfrey, Barney Conrad, and this is all going to be August 21st through the 23rd, 2009. Tickets at the door are going to be $60, but I think if you register early, it's $50 per day, which is a bargain rate these days to get into a paranormal conference. So they got an online ticket and a Twitter and all kinds of things. So they're going to be over at the Magicopolis in 1418 4th Street, Santa Monica, California, 90401. And the phone number is 310-451-2241. So hopefully we got that all right for them and got them some folks coming out to see everything that's cryptozoology and paranormal based, maybe talk some Bigfoot and that kind of thing. So that said, we got our basic news done and out of the way. I'm still recovering from, though, that hunt last night. It was a long, long hunt, and we went all over, and it was... Coloma is kind of a tight-knit town, and what we ended up having was we went ahead and checked in and did our business, getting kind of a pre-investigation interview and did our thing there, decided kind of what we were going to hit at the facility, and then we went back and started touring around some of the local haunts that we know about that we've hit many times. And just to give you an idea how the economy is doing, we stopped at a place called the Argonaut, which is just a, it's kind of the only place you can get any snacks or anything like that. So we've been hunting for a good chunk of the day, and we get to the Argonaut, and one of the investigators I was with pointed out a sign that says, the last day of this store's operation is going to be Sunday. And they were basically selling everything but the floorboards. Going out of business, and I guess it's just, and it was explained to us, it's basically the economy, and they're just moving on with things, and it's just sad to see, because that place is actually haunted itself, and I hadn't even realized that. As many times as I've been there, just about every aspect of Coloma is haunted. It's truly a treasure in this state. I think a lot more people should visit that particular state historic park and surrounding region, because you will come away with EVPs and a lot of evidence. We have absolutely no trouble, organizing day hunts and going out there and coming back, and are more than happy with what we get. But it's just a sad shame to see that particular facility go out the way it has. But anyway, my hat's off to the management for sticking it out as long as they could, and hopefully something new will come in and replace that institution, and still provide a little bit of food and drink and everybody for for all the visitors to the town. I'm sure that's going to be looked at. That said, Kat, now you had Brian Harnoy on here just earlier this week.
Harnois.
I always say Harnoy. Yeah. Harnois. Oh, that's a new one for me. Okay, I'll remember that. Harnois. So how did that go? Because I did not get a chance to listen because I've been too busy reorganizing cases.
Oh, it was it went real well. We had a good time, and he talked about some of his most famous cases and his most memorable cases, and it was a 2-hour show, but he was only on for an hour, so.
And what did you learn that you did not know about, Brian and some of the things that he's done in the past or where he's going?
He's just a really nice guy, and it was real grueling to be on the road for GHI. Being over there in all those different places was real grueling. It was like 12 to 14 hours a day, or at least 16 hours a day, and he's glad to be home.
Yeah, considering that he has a child, I think. He just had a baby girl, I think. And so you know what? There's priorities. I mean, the paranormal is great and all, but when you got family, you kind of pay attention to family first and then paranormal second. So I kind of figured that might be why he left GHI, you know. And like you could see how hard they work. I mean, I've hunted with Taps once in the past and talked with him a bit. And Barry, of all people, was kind of interesting because he kind of gently told everybody, you know, balance is really a good thing with approaching the paranormal. And I took that to heart. I thought, that's good. I like that. So, but anyway, it was a good interview then, and everything went well.
Oh yeah, it was a good time. Yeah.
Where's he going? What's his future looking like these days?
He's moving, and he's having another baby. So his girlfriend's having another baby.
Wow.
So yeah.
And, but he's still doing paranormal events and radio shows, just like what you know.
Yeah.
So he'll be around. You'll him around and about, and he's not going away anytime soon.
No. I told him about my abilities, and he wants to go hunting with me, so he said just to let him know, and I said, okay.
All right. Well, congrats. I mean, it sounds like a good show. And what else has been going on your way? Have you been on any hunts or been out anything in the last week or two?
No.
Nothing
no,
going
I,
on there?
No, not for me. I've been helping other teams across the United States and helped somebody earlier today with their home and a location that they'll be going to, they were amazed at how much I knew and never being there. So it was interesting this morning to have that conversation.
Well, you're basically turning into a real resource then as a remote viewer. I mean, that's something to consider as embrace it, you know, and bring more people in. I think you're doing great with that.
You never know.
You never know.
I'm just doing what comes naturally, I suppose.
Well, you know what? I honestly think there's a book in your future and some other things. Who knows? I mean, a television show with you as a remote viewer and all that kind of thing.
No,
so.
I'm not doing television. No. No.
Nope. You don't want to
do
it?
No.
Oh. I could see you on TV, though.
No. I promised my mother I would not do television, and I'm not going
okay.
to do it.
I won't belabor the point, then.
No.
But anyway, let's see, we're coming up, we're 22 past the hour, and we're coming up on bringing our good buddy Sharon in to talk with us. So I'll talk a little bit about some of the experiences I've had with Sharon and the company. I met Sharon Coyle from Journey Paranormal last year. I didn't know her from anybody, and October 31st, 2008, I came driving up the... to the Alameda Naval base area and parked in the public parking and looked up at this giant ship called the Hornet. And lo and behold, parked next to me were all these folks who looked like ghost hunters too and had similar looking gear to mine. And we got talking, and sure enough, it was Sharon, and we had just a really amazing hunt. I got a lot of great evidence on that particular outing with them, and then from that point on, I've just been in pretty regular contact with Sharon. She's been running Journey for quite some time. I'm not quite sure how long Journey's been an entity, but she's got a great website, and if you ever get the chance to go out and take a look at it, it's www.journeyparanormalsociety.com. And she's a very experienced event coordinator. I think she does that in her profession, so I'm going to have to if I say it wrong, Sharon, I'm doing it from with the best of intentions here. But she does that kind of work, and she's also looking at doing some pretty new things back east. And I'm not sure how much I'm supposed to say, so I'll just leave it at that and see if she wants to talk about that. But let's just say she's been traveling quite a bit. But also, I hunted with her, as you all know, on July 11th, and she brought quite a bit of new equipment, stuff I'd never really seen as capable as it was. She had a DVR, which was just was amazing, amazingly complex, and could take a just a I don't even have any idea how many channels this thing could do. But I looked at it, and she had just a huge number of cameras, and I helped set up and kind of direct where to put things, because she was so busy. She said, "John, can you handle that?" And I went, "Great, I'll take it." And I started directing where to put cameras. And we were taping things down and getting that all set up, and between all the hands we had available, it was amazing how fast it all came together. But what I want to find out from her is how the evidence analysis is going, because I don't know how she does it, but she's got probably a huge amount of evidence from that between EVP and all the other gadgets she's got, and then that video. So. And then she did, as I mentioned earlier, she's talking about some sort of picture that she got. So that said, we'll be going to go ahead and go to break to do that thing that we always do at every half hour, which is?
Go pee.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to go ahead and let me see if we can pick something out of the... Here we got something out of the archive. We'll play a couple of things, and then we'll have Sharon call in and have her ready to go for an hour with us. And this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, coming to you live from Shingle Springs and from the heart of the Seattle area. And we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Who are you? Where do you come from? Are you listening to me? What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.
Okay,
uh-oh.
We're back, and I hope I clicked on the right one. Is that Sharon I've got on the line? Hello?
Hello?
Is
Hello?
This Sharon Coyle?
No, this is actually Jim from Knops.
Oh, hi,
Jim.
Hi, Jim from Knops.
Hey.
Hello, Jim. Pretty good. I was just getting set to introduce my guest, and I wasn't sure which of the two lines that lit up was Sharon.
Sharon wanted me to call in, so you can put me on hold and go to her.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll go ahead and click the other line and see who we've got. It's definitely a roundtable wheel, so I'll just go ahead and leave you on, and we'll go ahead and click this one. And
right on.
Let's go ahead and see. All right. So, hello. Is that Sharon that we got on?
This is me. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey,
good
to have you aboard.
Hi.
Hey, Sharon.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, Jim.
Well, we got everybody all around the table, so we got a bonus guest on top of it from Knops. And Sharon, hey, it's good to see you again. And, you know, thank you. I wanted to say thank you in person and for everybody for that 50th birthday. That was the best.
So I just wanted to
tell you how touched I was.
Oh, yeah, no, it was fun for us to plan it, and the girls went all out getting the cake. And did you notice it was Woody from Toy Story? I thought it was hysterical, considering you're from Shingle Springs.
As a matter of fact, it's sitting in an honored place on my shelf right now. I'm looking right at it here in the alternate studio. So, yeah, it's definitely, I kind of took the humor of it to heart. Kind of fit the Gold Country theme for us. So.
Well, they did it all accidentally, and I thought, oh, that's perfect. I thought it was just great.
You know what I'm really glad about is you didn't put 50 candles on the cake.
You know what? I stepped away from it. I said, you do what you want. If you want to, you know, get the fire alarm going, then be my guest. But I don't think John's going to appreciate it.
Yeah, well, it was, I just didn't want to see it having its own thrusters, you know, so that was about all. But hey, you know, you probably heard some of what we were saying about some of the stuff going on with you guys, so... You know, I figured I'll just start, you know, kind of the whole thing off with a brief bio of you. I'll just read off a little bit of what we have from the from what I clipped from your website. It says that you're a psychic, photographer, and sensitive, and that you had your own personal experiences growing up in rural New England and had a desire to explore everything about the paranormal. Although you're sensitive to some degree, you take the scientific approach when investigating and rely heavily on concrete evidence, wahoo, and you're committed to providing assistance and guidance to those in need of help and support. And since this is your second time on the show, but I'm sure a lot of you, our listeners are hearing you for the first time, kind of take it from there, you know, how you started all of this and, you know, what's been happening lately and where you're going, and we'll just base the show on that. So.
Oh, darn, you don't have enough time for all of that. you know me, I talk a lot. No, growing up in New Hampshire. Shush. Growing up in New Hampshire, you know, we always had houses that were very active, and I was always interested in the paranormal. I was always reading books about it. Ended up knowing some people back there that were pretty well known in the region in the paranormal field that wrote books and always had an interest in it. And then, you know, things go on in your life, and sometimes at that, you know, when you're in a younger age, you have different interests that crop up and take precedence over other things. And as time went on, it slipped away from my forefront of my mind, and moved out to California. I was working in the film business, and then one thing led to another, and I got married. And then a few years later, unfortunately, my mother passed away, which was the catalyst of me revisiting the whole paranormal field, and that's how I got reintroduced to the field and became very well ingrained in it, and it is now almost a 24/7 thing in my life.
So you're doing all the, you know, the regular event type stuff like what you and I first met at, but you're also doing a lot of you know, pretty serious research cases. You know, I know you've been developing your own database of a lot of things that you don't talk about, but you guys are serious. I mean, you really get out and do concrete, you know, top of the line investigations, and based on what I've seen, you do some really a good job at it.
Oh, thank you. I mean, you know, like you, though, I'm struggling to get a handle on all the evidence that I've accumulated. I mean, just between, you know, not only the fun stuff and the semi-serious stuff, you know, of course you have all the, you know, the personal cases that you go out on, those get priority over everything, and that stuff gets addressed right away. But so then all your fun cases, like going to the Hornet, gets put on the bottom of the barrel. And to answer your question about that earlier, I have 64 hours of evidence from the Hornet, film evidence, and I haven't even taken the DVR out of the box since I brought it back. So, Jim and his crew were talking to me about how they can get their unit up on the internet. So we have a very similar unit, same brand. So I'm going to be working on that over the next few days and hoping to get all my footage accessible on the internet so people, the girls on the team and some other people can help me take a look at some of the evidence I have backlogged, because I just can't watch all the hundreds of hours of evidence that I have from different cases.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I had to sit back. I took basically the entire week just with our evidence, you know, pile, and I basically sacrificed my personal gateway system, and so that's the archive system now.
Wow.
Collated everything, and then I created a spreadsheet, and had it tabbed by year, and went through and got for the first time pretty much an overview of what's been done, who was on what case, what evidence we got, and what has been analyzed. And now, for the first time, we got a real handle on it. So, you know, I'm just feeling really good that, you know, we've got some standards going in now, finally. And the thing that I'm struggling with, the final thing, and I think you can appreciate this, is the whole, how do you check in all and track all of the different little bits of evidence, like audio clips and video. And so I'm looking at a content management system for us. So I may have to actually pay out of pocket for that and put one in. But, you know, that is going to help a bunch. But, you know, let's just, you know, for right now, I'm just doing good to get a handle on what's where, you know. So if you've got 64 hours just on one case, I shudder to imagine how much you've got, because you've been at this a while.
Well, we had, you know, 8 cameras set up, and they were set up for about 8 hours. So that's,
yeah,
that's what had happened. But, you know, normal things, it's, you know, 4 hours maybe, you know, and maybe, you know, 6 to 8 cameras. But still, you know, those things, it's usually the bigger things that I bring it to, like the Hornet or the Warner Grand or Linda Vista or something like that. So I can farm that kind of stuff out to the people that were there with me to look at it. It's not like it's private cases. When it's a private case, that stuff gets looked at right away.
Yeah, that's the same way it is here. You know, we haven't had that many private cases. Our specialty is mostly, you know, public and easily accessible haunts, just because of the nature, the way we've, you know, structured our group. But we've had our private cases, and I know what you're saying. The thing that I've been looking at, and you and I have actually collaborated in the past, is I've done a little evidence analysis for you, and I'm really looking at those cases where we do joint work. So I was independently thinking about, when I get my audio done, I'll categorize everything I've got from Hornet and then just shoot that over your way, so you can just fold that into your case pile. So,
yeah, I would love to be able to post stuff that other people are getting on the different public cases that we're doing, because it just adds to the whole overall picture of the location and what's happening.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. I mean, I think really, you know, when groups, you know, join together, you know, the evidence, basically, it's kind of, you know, apples and oranges, but, you know, share the evidence, you know, and make sure that, you know, everybody knows what happened, and, you know, both teams, you know, benefit from it. But that said, I mean, I was looking at an email you sent earlier about some of the, you know, you got an apparition shot. I was trying to remember where I was, and I didn't, but I didn't know when you got that.
Okay, it was up, I can't remember exact time off the top of my head, but it was after we left the forecastle at some point, and she brought us up to the, she meaning Heidi, brought us up to the administrative office area, and she was saying that there was that some of the people up there thought that there was an entity walking around during the day, that there was activity during the day even. And at that point, sorry, Maury, but she's not here. She's over in Amargosa, so I'm going to say this anyways. She went to go pee in the bathroom. And we were all hanging out in that little tiny office area right in front. I don't know if you remember that or not, but that's where we were. It was you and Spencer and Heidi and myself, and then Maury was
that, Was that where we had the they had all the chairs sitting?
No. This was upstairs where you guys were getting water right before we went downstairs to meet everybody in the big hangar part.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking.
Yeah.
And we had those shadows. We had the shadows over in the foxhole because I was seeing that along with the other docent. I kept walking over there because I kept looking over and I'm going, what the hell is that? And I kept, you know, you guys were all sitting and you had the ovuluses running and I walked over and I'm trying to just, I wanted to confront it and it would just disappear. Then I'd walk back and it'd be back, you know, and those guys are really maddening. Sometimes I just wish a ghost would just stay put just so you could come out and go, okay, I see you, you know, but they always got to play this game.
They do. Cat and mouse, cat and mouse.
Oh, I don't know, but that was a neat thing because we were actually getting knocks, if you remember, in there when we were sitting down. We were getting some confirmations, and then some of the ovulus evidence was going, you know, really to the point. I mean, it was saying things that made sense to what we were doing.
Oops, sorry, my dog's barking. I apologize. Oops, sorry. He's hearing a dog bark outside. Actually, it's funny because I'm trying to start going through some of the Hornet stuff, and I did listen to some of the stuff that we had just in that first section in the foxhole, and there were a couple things that were interesting. Not all of it is really considered paranormal, but to get back to the apparition, it was really funny because Dr. Pamela Heath, who is our special investigator, special guest there, she had been talking just offhandedly about how oftentimes she'll pick up when she's walking around doing like the flashlight tours, like a designated, like uniformed ghost, you know, a ghost officer, if you will, and they'll follow her around the ship. And then 2.5 or 3 hours later, I got that apparition down in the administration office of that apparition in a uniform. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So I put that clip on the website. And then with the knocking, as you said, we were using the ovulus, and at one point it had been tapping on the wall in communication, acknowledging our questions. And then at one point when we were talking, it said something about 7, and then Pamela had said it tapped 7 times. And then it said the ovulus came back and said tap, tap, tap. Do you remember
that?
Yeah,
that was right. And it kept doing that. I've never heard an ovulus do that. I mean, mine doesn't do that. And I'm going, man, you know, and I'd forgotten mine for that trip. I was just kicking myself. But I'm going to be going back September 5th. So Taps is going to be there. There's going to be some.
Actually, it's not Taps. It's Chip Coffee.
Yeah, Chip Coffee. But they're going to have. I'm speaking out of context. But they're going to have former Taps members there. I stand corrected. I'm trying to remember. Well, one of the members of TAPS is going to be there. That's current member, and then one other. And I'm trying to remember her name, Donna LaCroix.
Oh yeah,
she's going to be there. Yeah. So Donna's going to be there, and it's good to see her back because she had been sick for some time, and so it's good to see her back out. Oh yeah, she had. I believe she had Crohn's disease, and she. That's why she kind of dropped out of GHI because again, you know, just like Kat was talking about. With the amount of time they're on the road and all that, I think it just aggravated her condition. But
once you have it, you don't get rid of it.
Yeah, so I'm just really, I was pleased as punch to see her and, get to meet her. It'll be kind of fun. But what I think that I'll do is I'll take the ovulus again and see if I can, you know, try to replicate some of the things that happened over in the foxhole. And
good luck. It's the third time I was there, and I've never had the same thing happen twice.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's so much stuff going on there. There's so much stuff.
The thing that I was struck with that I didn't know was when I think it was the good doctor who was Doug Pamela Heath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she talked about the fact that they, just like what you were saying, they have a command structure that the spirits aboard the ship actually have a hierarchy, and I guess they have an agreement on what they're going to do. For each group coming in, I guess it's kind of interesting. Keith talked a little bit towards that too. So here you are for the first time getting kind of a picture into their society of how they do things. And I just was blown away when I heard that. I went, wow, I never thought about that. They actually probably have agreements on who's going to follow who around.
Yeah, I know.
And how they're going to handle things.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. I mean, it really truly is.
Yeah. Well, and you're doing quite a bit. You do a lot of these event, putting together different events and that kind of thing. And you've been really into the Warner Grand, which one of these days I'm going to get down there and actually.
I know. I feel so bad about that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, well, what she was referring to is I went down there and I actually believed my TomTom on the directions, and I ended up in downtown L.A. going, I think I'm in the wrong place. And luckily it got me back to HMS Queen Mary, and I was able to do another hunt instead. But I'm going to get there sometime in the fall, if whatever you got planned. So I will be there. I'll drive down and spend the weekend and definitely there. But that theater, how did you, let's start with some of that. What have you, how did that all start with you, and what's going on with the Warner Grand? And tell us a little bit about that.
It's a beautiful old Art Deco theater, and it was built in 1931. And actually, before I contacted them, no paranormal investigators had gone near the place. I just happened to call at the right time. And so now I have a really great relationship with the theater. I'm actually the paranormal liaison for the theater. I'm booking in other teams for them. And we're trying to do some research on some of the activity that's going on there. It's kind of interesting because it's really at the beginning stages of everything. I'm starting to do research at the historical societies. A friend of mine who is actively involved with our group on a regular basis, she's a dear friend, Tuesday Miles, she actually came up with a couple of things that we were in the process of verifying. She had called me one day, and I was actually on my way to the historical society, and she goes, is there a Chinese restaurant down the street or something with red and Chinese lettering? I'm like, no. And so I didn't think anything of it. And so I thought, I'm going to the Historical Society. If I find something about that, maybe it will show up. So anyways, I looked and looked and looked and didn't find anything specific about that. And I was leaving the office at one point. I was getting ready to leave, and they had these beautiful hand-painted plates on the wall. And there were, like, little placards underneath them, but I couldn't quite read what the placards said. And I was commenting how gorgeous they were. They were, like, antique hand-painted plates. And the woman there, I said, oh, gosh, those are gorgeous. Where did they come from? She goes, oh, a place down the road that was right down the street, actually, from the Warner Grand called, that's not there anymore, but it was called Shanghai Red. It was a really infamous bar.
Oh, my God.
I thought, that's interesting. So we're trying to correlate. We're having an assumption at this point, and we won't be able to verify it for obviously quite some time. But there's some tie-in between someone who was at the Warner Grand, at least when Tuesday was there during an investigation, and Shanghai Red. And I know that's an assumption, but it's an awful right-on kind of thing that just happened. And another Tuesday tip was when she was with us during an investigation, she had tuned into a gentleman named Slappy. And Slappy was a vaudeville actor there, and she really was getting a lot from him. And we just started looking him up on the Internet, and it was a Slappy Melvin White, who was an actor who died in 1995, and he was very, very popular. And now my next step is to find out if he ever had an opportunity to perform at the Warner Grand. So, things like it's coming together bit by bit, little bits and pieces, but, nothing verifiable yet, but it's all in the inception.
Well, that shot that I saw sometime back of the woman, I think there was a photo you had sent out, and there was a shot of that woman. You remember that one?
Yeah, I sent back to you, and then I actually sent it back to the group that had rented the theater at the time, and they believe it is actually one of the gentlemen there that had shorts on. I did not have any pictures of this particular gentleman's legs. Every time I had him, he was short and he was standing behind people, so I did not see that he didn't have long trousers on. They're saying it's him. I'm still skeptical because another gentleman during that investigation had sent me just recently some video and clip and actual stills pulled from the video of another woman in that same area. Not a blonde, can't really tell what color her hair is, but there's another woman in that same hallway. So I'm still kind of skeptical, but he really believes it's him, so I'm going to write that one off as that wasn't it. But I do have pictures on the website of a child crawling across the floor, and I actually heard him giggle audibly with my ears prior to taking the photograph.
Yeah, we actually saw that. She showed us Sam and I. She showed us those pictures, and they do look odd.
Yeah, which one's that? Of the child going across the floor?
Yeah, it's like a black mask.
It's a black mask, but it's small, and he's on, and it looks like they're on their hands and knees, and it's the size of a child. And then he was also in another part of the theater, just down the hall from there. I got two pictures of him, or whatever.
Now, the theater obviously has been around for quite some time, so you know it's got that association with the Shanghai Red that you're talking about. How long has the Warner Grand been in existence, and what are some of the what history do you know that could account for some of these
things? Well, it's been around since 1931, and it was an Art Deco theater, and it was actually originally opened like around January 1931, and it was built by one of the famous architects who built a lot of the big theaters, the big huge movie theaters for like Pantages Theater and all those theaters. The Warner Brothers had actually hired the architect to build all these different Art Deco theaters in San Pedro, Beverly Hills, and there was one actually in Huntington Beach where I live now, but that's been gone for many years. I'm not even quite sure where that was in Huntington, which is a shame. But it's the last of the three original theaters intact, and so it was used for all types of performances. Now they do a lot of theater, musical things. They do regular movies Wednesday nights. They have a great little special where you can go and see a movie. And they're not exactly first run. Like they had Dark Knight from a couple of years back, or last year I guess it was. So you get on Wednesday night, you go to the movies and you get popcorn and two drinks and stuff for $10 for two people. So it's really great. And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous theater. It's just absolutely breathtaking.
And you've got evidence on your website from there and photos and things like that?
Oh, I do. I do. EVPs and photographs and all types of things. So it's coming together. One of the other teams, the San Diego group that rented it recently, I just spoke with them the other day to see how they were coming on their evidence review. And like you and I, they're backed up until August before they'll have a chance to even look at it. And they were there back in May.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's insane. It's craziness.
I don't know. You know, it's just, you know, the trouble with paranormal investigation, it's so much fun, and we want to get, you know, we want to go out and we take all this gear, and then we, you know, throw it all out there, and then we're, you know, we get home and we go, oh God, what have I just done? You know,
I know.
I've kind of this time out, you know, at the Sierra Nevada house that we just did yesterday that I'm still recovering from. What I did do is I kind of got skimpy with it. I decided, okay, I'm going to break it up into, you know, smaller chunks of audio. And actually, when I got home today, I, you know, even though I was sleepy, I went ahead and did like one whole recorder. I got that out of the way. So I feel like I got somewhere, but, man, I mean, when you look at the pile, you know, at least having an overview of what's missing and what's where, so you can start, you know, prioritizing, you know, reveals. Because we're really getting serious about setting deadlines for reveals,
mm-hmm.
and making, you know, forcing the issue on ourselves, and I think that's like a big key now. But you know, having an online reporting system, that ParaDB I talked about.
Yeah, I want to check that out.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll get with you in the coming week and kind of take you through and give you a login just to look at our cases and, you know, see what you think of it. And I can help you set it up because, I mean, it takes somebody who's done, you know, web application setups. But let me tell you what, even though it's not perfect, boy, it's better to have the cases at least, you know, all your investigators log in and fill in the cases that they're supposed to.
That's
and
amazing.
It's got, like,
yeah,
it's workflow engine. Yeah, it's got a workflow capability. I was really surprised at it. So really neat, but definitely I think it'll help a bunch of people. And if you know, and to the people who did that in Seattle, I don't remember the name of the group, but man, my hat's off to that guy. He did a hell of a job. So anyway,
and
you've got also
talking about that too for a long time that we think that there should be some sort of a master database, and if a lot of the investigators can get on board with at least maybe a program like this. And then maybe we can end up marrying and sharing data. That would be awesome.
Well, you know, that's what I'm doing. The problem is that doesn't account for all the media management and stuff. But, you know, the neat part is if you can get the cases, you know, a top-level view of your cases and at least manage that, and have a reasonable archive system so that you can check in into a master archive everything and all your raw evidence, and then start having a method for extracting that, and then being able to report off of that and post that to your website in an organized way. Because you know me, I've got a fully database driven content management system.
Uh-huh.
Is what GRI uses. So I'm really looking at trying to put together a model that makes sense, that we can tie the whole thing together and feed that back to this ParaDB setup I've got. So if I can make that work, man, I'll share it with everybody, because I watch other groups struggling with this, and the more I hear, the more you hear the same stories.
Well, and it's really crazy too, because I mean, I was having this conversation with someone else just yesterday. It's just that it's unbelievable the amount of activity that is going on in the world now. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, you don't even have to be on a paranormal, at least I don't have to even be on a paranormal investigation, where I'll be going somewhere and I'll be having my cell phone and I'll go to take a photograph and I'll get paranormal activity on my photograph. It's just there. It's absolutely becoming so prevalent in the world. And there are many theories behind that. But, I mean, it's just everywhere. So when you do go out on a case, I think you're getting more and more stuff. I mean, some people may have only gotten a couple of EVPs. I mean, you can get, a lot. You can get many dozens during an evening.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the thing that we've been noticing, I'm getting the same, just like you're saying, we're getting cases coming to us without even trying. And the thing that, just to make it, without saying quite where I work, I had some guards at our facility come to me and tell me, we've heard about you. Could you take a look at this? And they started taking me around and told me what was happening. They were being watched at night, and they were spotting apparitions popping in and out of the facility where I work. And without going into details, I did some EVP, and sure enough, we had entities coming through. And then there's been this influx of shadows, and I've actually seen a couple at work. So I'm standing, I was actually in a meeting about 6 weeks ago, and I looked again, and I did a double take, and my boss was looking at me, and he says, what's wrong? I said, nothing. I got something in my eye, and I'm going, I just watched a shadow go right through the room. And
wow.
I'm trying to think, what the heck is going on here? So I don't understand.
If you came from your work, though, and wanted to go off and investigate, that would be me.
Well, you got to be careful with that kind of thing.
I know.
Especially, you walk in and your boss is asked, what are you doing with the recorder at work? Well, I'm paranormal investigation. Yeah, right. They already know I'm a little off anyway, but I don't need them to, come in and start lecturing me about, doing that, especially with the nature of my work. But let's see. We're coming up on the half-hour break, and we're going to just take a brief little time for everybody to go off and do what they got to do. And we'll be back to continue this great interview. It's good to have you guys aboard. So we're going to go ahead and take about a 3 or 4 minute break. And let me find something good here. I'm going to try Break Spooky. I haven't played this in a while. So we'll play that and be back in about 3 minutes. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We'll be right back. 901 Bulova Watch Time. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. And, yeah, beep. Anyway, we are talking with Sharon Coyle, and I'm also going to take just a brief moment and talk about, basically, I'm broadcasting out of our alternate studio. Probably for the last time or for some time, I put this emergency system together just in case I ever had trouble down at the regular studio. And sure enough, we've had trouble because our network system kind of broke down a bit. And I'm looking at my brand new Linksys Cisco router here. So tomorrow this network comes apart and we're going to put together the new setup. And I should be back to the normal high-quality broadcast system I've got all put together, custom set up with our mixer board and all the custom doodads we've put together over the last 6-7 months of the show. So that'll be coming about. And so you should hear improved quality. And hopefully this is the last time I have to call in on this Skype phone direct. But anyway, we're back. And thank you for your patience. And we're going to continue on with interviewing Sharon. And her guest here, I'm so sorry, I did not write that down on the show notes. The gentleman that called in, oh, is he gone now? I believe he took off. So
oh,
I was going to ask you, I was going to ask him some questions, and he took off.
He'll call back in. I just said, Jim, call back in. He's actually with NOPS, and which is North Orange County Paranormal Society, and it happens to be a team of three gentlemen, and with the three layers of Journey Paranormal, it's kind of fun. We kind of get together and work together on some cases and some like historical locations such as the Warner Grand, and it's a nice little marriage. We get along really well, and it's a nice complementary team. And so the three of us Journey Paranormal ladies and the three of the NOPS guys are going to be doing the live webcast from the Warner Grand on July 31st, and it's going to be broadcast on NOPS TV.
All right. So is that him on the air? I just put somebody from area code 207 on.
207?
Yes. That's
I don't
me.
Know where
I'm not Eric, but I'm just a guest. I wanted to
That's from Maine.
Yes, from Maine. Yes, yes. Have you ever been to Maine or anything? Or?
I'm from New Hampshire. I've been to Maine a lot. As a matter of fact, if you can
really?
Send me some lobster and some fried clams, I'd be your best friend forever.
Oh, awesome. That's so cool. I was just at the Clan Festival in Yarmouth.
Oh, you're killing
just,
me. You're killing me.
Ago. Yes.
You
yes,
can't get
awesome.
Fried clams with bellies out here. Oh, my God, I'm having a – my mouth is drooling now. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. But I overheard you guys speaking of a wish for a website that has all sorts of paranormal data and documents classified and categorized and tagged and all these things. And I'd like to refer you to my website that we spent a good and fair amount of time and resources building. It's called paranormal51.com, and we have an ultimate search page. It only costs 99 cents per month to view and to use. It has all sorts of documents. It has everything categorized and granulated into really tiny categories or sweeping broad categories, such as, you know, just aliens or gray aliens or say poltergeists and ghosts and different cases and everything. And what we can do or what you can do on there is use an and/or and an and function to assemble your results in accordance with lots of parameters, including gender, age, a keyword, domain name. So if you want a specific domain name and you want to search through there, then you can, if you want to use that in conjunction with different category checkboxes, you can do that too. It's called paranormal51.com, and it's a great service. I use it myself. In order to find similarities to my experience, similar cases to my experiences that I've had, especially one EBE encounter that I had in West Texas. It was a bright sunny day, and I saw an extraterrestrial biological entity standing less than 2 feet in front of me. It was using cloaking technology. We are being visited, just like on, it wasn't just like on Predator. It's different. It's actually, it sounded more like the extraterrestrials that you see on District 9.
If you, it was so fascinating. I'd have to go off on, you know, I'd have to like describe it. I can't describe it in less than 10 minutes, so I don't want to monopolize your time. But I did want to introduce you to Paranormal51.com because I overheard you guys talking about a wish for a website that was looking, that was essentially categorizing and database, essentially assembling data across the entire internet. And we do that. It's pretty powerful. So if you wanted to use your 24-hour free trial, it's easy to subscribe for that. All you need to do is just enter in a username, password, and an email address, and you can access the Ultimate Search page as well as other services for free. It's really great. You should check it out.
That's a neat idea. I mean, that sounds like a classic document management system. Where you have,
yes,
you know, metadata that, yeah, because I mean I design those for a living, and you know that's exactly the kind of thing we're looking for in this business is
awesome.
Number one, just for your own cases, and number two,
yes,
you know, Sharon and I have had a kind of a running conversation about having the ability to share cases across boundaries in some kind of a universal format so that people can, you know, we have a clearinghouse to exchange information and.
Totally.
So, yeah, I'll definitely take a look at that. That's a really good find, and
yeah.
You know, so we very
really
much appreciate
easy.
That.
It's really easy to just register, and all you need to do is just register for your free 3-day trial or free 24-hour trial, and then you can access the Global Paranormal Search Map. You can access Paranormal Statistics. We have Paranormal Statistics Suite that generates statistics relating all different types of documents, the Ultimate
okay.
Search page and everything. It's all
Did
there.
Did you say your name is Eric?
No, my name is John.
Okay, well, I just write that down. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got everything here too. So we'll post a couple of notes on the show page as soon as we're show's over.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and do that for you and make sure you get
cool.
some attention there. So we appreciate
awesome.
Your time there, my friend.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks
Thank
a lot, John.
Thank you very much. Have a great
Bye.
Day.
Okay, take care.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Well, that was a find.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'll have to
yeah.
check it out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is if we can find either a low-cost, you know, way of being able to, you know, share the data or there's some clearinghouse. I've been looking, oddly enough, at the National UFO Reporting Hotline that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's talked about an awful lot on Coast to Coast AM and that, you know, places like that. That's a great central kind of a not too detailed database as far as, you know, researchers trying to find everything out, but you can sure see kind of what's going on across the country, and it's a great place to, you know, be able to see what's happening in your area or some area that you're interested in going back in time. And so that's kind of the thinking that I was looking at with a really hard going, wow, what things do we need to pay attention to from a paranormal basis? You know,
exactly.
being able, that's common to all of us and be able to dump it in one place and have a nice, easy search page that makes sense that you can translate into plain English because not all paranormal folks are super technical, you know.
No,
so
surprisingly, they're not. You'd think they would be.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, and having done doc management systems, I can tell you, we get complaints to, you know, with things that we think would be easy, people really complain about it, and these are real live human beings who are just trying to find stuff, and that's the whole purpose of this. So trying to find the right balance is tough, I thank this guy for calling. I think that's going to be something to definitely look into.
Absolutely.
Let's see. I've got to pull in the show notes together here, and what have you got coming up, Sharon? What things are happening for Journey Paranormal in the near future and maybe off into the distance?
Oh, I can't think too far off in the distance. My mind is like jello right now, but just so much going on. But actually, we have the July 31st, which is Friday night, starting at 10 o'clock. There'll be a live webcast with the guys from NOPS, the Layers of Journey Paranormal, and special guest Tuesday Miles. and we're going to be investigating the Warner Grand Theater, and it'll be a live webcast and a chat room, and we're going to do some really interesting things. We're having about 7 stationary cameras set up throughout some of the hot spots in the theater, but we're going to be doing some really interesting experiments. I'm trying to put some things in those areas that will be kind of like triggers for the paranormal activity, so it'll be something other than just watching a static security camera, hopefully. There'll be some toys, if you will, for the ghost to interact with. So hopefully there'll be something happening at all times in some of the rooms, or at least some of the times in some of the rooms. And then we'll have a live camera following around the different teams. We're going to do the guys in one area and the girls in another, and they're going to mix up the guys and the girls in different locations. And we're all going to take turns in the chat room as well, so people can log on and ask us directly some specific questions. So it should be really good. It should be a really good thing.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. I'll definitely join in on that one because I watch a lot of what happens over at Wolf Manor, and they've got that down to a science, and it's good
they
to see
do.
You doing this. Yeah, because, I mean, those guys, that's a quality setup those guys have. And I'm going to be having Todd Wolf on the show here in the next several weeks. I can't remember. I don't have my schedule in front of me because I'm in the wrong studio. But the bottom line is, they run a great outfit. So, but what you're doing, I really like that. I think especially with the amount of paranormal activity in your area, you're going to have no trouble being able to take that show on the road from that's actually a good question, is are you going to do it only at the Warner, or is that going to be something you take other places?
I don't know. I'm beholden on the boys. The boys have all the equipment. Sean, and I'm terrible at pronouncing their last name, but Sean from NOPS, he actually is a videographer and a producer. And so a lot of it is his own equipment, and so the guys are really the tech brains behind all of this. And but we do work well together, and we're going to see how it goes at the Warner Grand. This will be our second live webcast. We had a live webcast when we were investigating Tuesday Miles' house a few months back, and so this will be our first live one at a huge location, a very big location, and we'll see how it goes. And we're hoping that we can do something regularly at the Warner Grand, maybe incorporate some other outside investigators to come in, maybe do some things at other locations. You met Maury. She's got some leads of some great places up in Nevada and eastern, northeastern California. So, I mean, there's definite possibilities. There's definite possibilities doing
it. Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Maury, I mean, she wanted to get together and do some work in some of the closer sites that kind of are midway for her, I guess, because she's in Vegas, right?
Right.
I think she's in, Las Vegas. So, because we've been looking at doing some work over at, what's the name of that? The Goldfield
oh,
Hotel.
Yeah.
We've been really tossing that over as I've been trying to balance what we're
going
to do.
Well, you can't get
in
there, though. That's the thing. You can't get in there.
Yeah, but I was, it's not the only haunted spot there, though. And
no,
so
no,
that's
it is.
What we're going to go look and see. I might do a scouting mission out sometime in October.
Ooh,
get a couple of us out there.
I'll tell you why. And I don't have anything on it specifically. She's supposed to be getting me it. And because if you've been on Goldfield's website for the city of Goldfield or the town of Goldfield, they don't really have anything listed. But she goes up there a lot, and they're having Goldfield days, like a little fair kind of Goldfield days, which is, I think, the second week in August. So
yeah.
I'll let you know, and I'll shoot you an email. But I'm thinking about going up then and just checking it out then.
Well, hell, we'll talk some more about that for
yeah.
sure. But yeah, I'm part of our territory that we are able to range into is we've been, we've hit Virginia City. That's
I know,
an easy
I
reach
it.
For us. Oh, you should have been there. Oh man, that was so cool.
I heard you
heard about the half apparition I saw run out of the mine?
Yeah.
I turned around and looked, and I saw this pair of legs go running out. And I did a double take, and I was just amazed. I'd never seen, it doesn't enter your mind that you're going to see half an apparition, and especially the lower half, there's no source
mm-hmm.
of. So I walked away from that, and I was just reconfirming this with one of our members, Christine. She and another investigator witnessed blue orbs moving around in the same exact spot 10 minutes later, and came back and reported to me what was going on. And I went, oh, my God, that was exactly where I saw this guy's legs, at least, assuming it was a guy, Had to have been, because, you know, but there were 40 some odd, basically the mind, you know, for all of you who didn't know this, is this is at the Gold Hill Hotel. We stayed in the miner's cabin there, and it's an extremely haunted location, and all of Virginia City basically is, but that mine had one of the worst, I guess, mine accidents in the 19th century. There were something on the order of 40 to 50 guys burned to death down there in a terrible mine fire. And it was just, and they're still down there. They did not get these guys out. So the mine is basically all collapsed in on itself. But the miner's cabin just outside of it that was built on and built there for the miners to kind of change clothes into and that kind of thing still exists. And it's been turned into part of the hotel. And so we stayed in there, and we did some EVP analysis, and so far, you know, we're going to be posting those cases soon online, and a lot of that evidence was just really top-notch, because we were getting knocks and answers to our questions.
Fabulous.
Like that were going. And we took, oddly enough, because Mark and Debbie Constantino, the past guests on the show here, had recommended it in the past, we took Southern Comfort. We all toasted them, the miners. And so we were sitting around right in front of the mine having a toast, and we left them a toast. So I think they really liked us, and we made sure to let them know that Mark and Debbie put us up to it. So I want to just double... Yeah, so for those of you who do hunt in the West and are around a lot of the old miner types, they really like their whiskey, trust me. So,
oh, yeah.
So take a gift. Even if you're not on the West Coast, if you're hunting someplace else in the United States, take a gift with you, something that will be meaningful to the spirits that you're working with, and make sure you do something nice for them, because they're giving you their time when they give you an EVP. And they, you know, where they're taking time to talk with you, so just do that. And so I'm always on my pitch for that. So.
No, I agree.
Now you're talking about our friends from Knopps who did not dial in. So.
I guess Jim's cell phone died on the way home or something. So I guess he's on his way home. He might not make it back in time for the show.
Okay, and so you hooked up with them. They're the guys that are doing the broadcast, right?
Yep, they're going to be doing the broadcast, and they're investigating with us. And then it will be myself and Samantha and Jessica from my team and Tuesday Miles. And I think Miss Maury might be driving down because I'm courting her to join my team. So I'm hoping that she's going to come down. She is coming down. So we're trying to get her on our team. So she's coming down to do some stuff with us.
She's an awesome investigator. I hunted with her on the last hunt and on board Hornet, and I was just really impressed with her. So. You're getting a great investigator there. Because if you don't scoop her up, I'm going to try to grab her. So.
Yeah, well, maybe we can share. That'll be a whole part of the whole unity amongst teams, you know.
Well, I'm glad. We
kind of do stuff together anyway, so it's just another adjunct of that.
I think we ought to form like a triad. You know, we'll be like this unbeatable team. Northern, Southern, and then Western Nevada. So I think that'll work out great.
Actually. I would love that.
I still like the idea of us getting the groups together and maybe having we as a state all kind of get together and go off to some and compare cases and plans and probably try to figure out how we're going to combine resources, because it's tough enough just trying to do it on your own, but if we can throw equipment and capabilities together. Me with my IT background and the kinds of things I do, and then you with your infinite budget, which I know you just have a giant one.
Oh yeah.
and all the experience you have, and all the great team members you have, and then Maury with the things she does, I think that'd work out great. So.
Oh, I do.
We're definitely going to be talking. What about Hornet? That's turning into a regular venue for you.
It's about once a year I go back. I would like to make it more, but it's a draining event. It really is draining for me because you put it so much into it, prepping it, and then I try to do my best to make sure everyone's having a good time. So it just is. It drains me actually.
Yeah, you looked a little less frazzled this time than the time before, because you were looking stressed when I first met you. You were looking like, oh my God, this is all going crazy. But you seemed a little more relaxed on this one, and it was kind of nice because I knew where things were, And I was appreciated you just saying, can you take care of the technical? Okay, yeah, I'll do that. And we had everybody pitching. I knew that you would work well,
you know, with everybody. And I wanted you to get to know Maury because I knew that she was closer in a fashion to you guys up there. Being in Vegas, it's an easier ride for her to go up to your way. And then I wanted my girls to, you know, to get to know Maury. And then, of course, Spencer, he went all out promoting the event. So, and he was so thirsty for knowledge. I thought, well, you know, between all of you guys, I think it'd be a great thing. And then I was able to check people in and deal with the Hornet personnel and the people attending the event. So it was very much appreciated. And I thought it was great that you guys all worked so well together.
Yeah, matter of fact, Spencer, just to cover him, he is a professional radio announcer, host of his own show. I think it's on Fox on satellite.
It's actually called Fox Across America. It's on Sirius Radio, and it's
Sirius. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he is a really nice guy, and I've been remiss in my getting back to him about him being on our show, but I am going to get with him. So if he's hearing, listening, I haven't forgotten you, Spencer. I've got you on the case books, so we're definitely going to get back with you. But he was a hoot to hunt with. I mean, he's a funny guy.
He is. And, he's hysterical. Have you listened to any of your evidence yet from Sick Bay?
No, I haven't.
I haven't looked at anything.
you're
going to kill Maury and Spencer and I. Because when we got back, and remember you guys all went to bed? Maury decided she had the munchies, so she was munching some chips, but she didn't want to munch them in sick bay and keep everybody awake. So we went down into some of the little offices in sick bay, and then we started goofing around a little bit. So we were playing around a little bit. So you may have some interesting audio, and then once the video gets up, it's going to be pretty funny. I mean, you know, it was 4 in the morning. So, you know, we didn't taint too much of the evidence, but you might get a couple of giggles on there when you hear some of the stuff. So
I got warned about that. Somebody told me, and I can't remember who told me, that my audio might be a little contaminated because, you know, just so you know, what I do is whenever I go out on site, I put drop recorders in areas that I'm pretty sure we're going to have long, you know, be able to run for the whole evening, and I'll just throw a drop recorder and let the batteries run out. And so that's what we do, you know,
uh-huh.
I guess it's turning into a tradition. I throw my recorders into the two sick bays because there's been growls heard in there and all kinds of things. But I remembered hearing that. Now I know what to look for. So.
Yeah, well,
Matter of fact, I'll clip it and I'll stick it on my site. So the heck, we'll have some fun with it.
Way to get the video. Oh, my God. No, but seriously, you know, it might actually start some more activity. I mean, you think about it. She was eating Doritos in an operating room. Somebody's going to be getting awful angry, you know? So, I mean, it could be some really good EVPs when you come right down to it, so.
Well, what since you did have the photo, speaking of that stimulating activity, and you got that photo, what other things, did you have any other personal experiences aboard Hornet, you know, from this time?
Personal experiences, let me see. Well, just, you know, just like some of the cold spots and the chills and, you know, nothing, not anything super duper out of the ordinary. Nothing super duper out of the ordinary.
Yeah, it seemed like it was a little bit less intense than what we had in the October hunt.
Yeah.
But there were still things happening. It was, what I thought was notable was that we got such immediate hits when we went up to the fox. I try to say the foxhole.
But yeah, foxhole or forecastle.
Yeah, and we went up there, and it was so immediate and sudden, and the way it just happened. But we were, what I felt like it was just a slow, steady, constant set of events going on throughout that whole hunt.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just nice to hit some of the same spots all over again. But I noticed Keith was he was pretty relaxed.
Yeah, he was.
And he had that super cool ovulus. I mean, I was going. Somehow he got hold of that thing, and it's kind of a new model ovulus, and it's got the blue lights, and it has a speaker built in. So he's just walking around chewing up batteries all night, complaining about that. But but it had the blue lights, and I was going, wow, I could modify mine to be like that too. So I'm going to open mine up and maybe add a little audio circuit in. But
oh, you're so funny.
I have a full electronics lab here, so I'm all set. But we got a caller. And we've got 5 minutes left, so I might just take this brief if this caller is willing to just if it's a question we can answer briefly, and then we're going to close the show down. So are you good with that, Sharon?
Sure. When you have a chance, I just want to mention something to you. There's an EVP, not really an EVP, but a recording I put on my EVP page, and I would love to have feedback on it because I don't understand it. And so,
well, I'll tell you what, I'll download it, and so we'll get back with that. So I'll get that in my notes. So let's take this from the 714 area code and see who we have on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Oh, it's Jim.
Hello.
Yeah, it's me. I called back after I got disconnected.
It's Jim.
Well, hi, Jim. Yeah. I just wanted to thank you for all the work you're doing over at the Warner Grand and all the video stuff you're doing. It sounds like you guys have quite a setup.
Yeah, we're gonna go all out on this one. So hopefully it'll be a good show. I mean, as far as what they're seeing, but as far as what we're gonna capture, we've got quite the setup.
Well, are you so you're professional videographers?
Not really, but me and
well,
Sam and I are actually Sean is. Sean is actually a videographer. He's my brother, and he's also part of the Knobs team. And he does it very well.
Well,
and we're very good at going over the evidence that we gather too.
And you've probably got the time.
In the group. That's the thing too, is the time.
Yeah,
we're backlogged also.
Yeah, it's just horrible how easy it is to get evidence and then just to try to figure out what you got. Oh my God! And
it's exciting when you get it though.
You know what? There's nothing better in a Class A, man, when you get it and you go, oh, I did that, and that was so cool. And
then
you share it with people, and you're excited. It's just the most awesome thing. But even better is video. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, whatever you guys get, definitely we'll be talking in the future. So, thank you for calling in.
Okay.
I just hate the fact that we're going to have to close it down now. So I think we've had a really great show. I mean, we'll definitely have both of you guys on again in the next five or six months if you're willing to come on again.
And you'll have to watch our show and watch it as it develops.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you, John, can you be in the chat room and help things move along?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll volunteer. You got, not a problem.
There you go.
So, okay.
We're
going to
have other people
in there,
too, but I figured, you know, it would be fun to have you in there and kibitzing and helping things move along. And then if this goes maybe we'll try to do a combination live webcast and live podcast next time. That would be really great.
There you go.
That sounds good to me. I'll tell you what, let's get together in the coming weeks, and we'll talk about that. So I'll definitely be in touch. So that said, we got about 60 seconds left, so we're going to be on again in another week, and I do not have my next show on, but I know it'll be a good one. And we want to thank Journey Paranormal and Knobs for coming on with us tonight, and we'll be talking with you guys soon. Kat, thank you for being on there and hosting the chat, and let's do a quick call out, make sure that whoever's still left is out there, is called up, and so if we could do a shout out for everybody out there.
I have a guest, Journey, Knobs, Sam, Sherry 9, and Tahoe Girl.
By the way, Knobs Sam made a mean pork chop, let me tell you.
Well, you know what's really funny? We have a Sam on Knobs, which we call him Big Sam, and then we have Samantha on my team, which you know is Little Sam, and so we have Sam and Sam, which is really kind of funny. It's a nice little thing, actually.
Sam squared. Okay, well, we got 15 seconds, and so we're going
to
go ahead and sign it off.
Thanks for calling in, Jim.
Okay,
all right,
thanks a lot, everybody. God bless, and we will see you again in the coming week.
Thanks, everyone. John, call me.
Okay, we'll do. And this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio signing off.
Thanks.
Good night,
bye.
Everybody. Bye.
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 This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio coming to you live on blogtalkradio.com.
And we're on the archive portion of the show where the streaming is still on. But I just want to take a moment and kind of recap the show because I'm on alone right now. But for those of you who are going to listen and download the show, it's always good to work with other paranormal groups. And what I really am always encouraged at is especially dealing with Journey Paranormal and all the good folks that work, you know, like NOPS and all these different groups that we run into. We're seeing a real trend, I think, in people working together. And so to recap this show, it's just really, really good to see people wanting to share information and help one another and share resources. So if there's anything I could ever just, you know, really stand on my soapbox about, it's that one thing, is help each other, because we're all better for the experience. You know, you run into some, you know, you hear cases where people talk about, you know, one group did this and did this to another group, and some negative things ensued. I'm thinking that's becoming more the rarity than the rule, and it's nice just to see this. So that said, we'll go ahead and wind it down, and I'm going to sign off, and we'll be doing sometime in the coming week. I did briefly look at my notes, and we're going to be doing a show on Bigfoot. We're going to have a Bigfoot-orama. So since it's summertime and there's probably a fairly good increase in the number of sites going on, that kind of thing, we are going to go ahead and do a show about Bigfoot this week. I'm on vacation, and I'm going to be doing quite a bit of work actually out in the backyard with chainsaws and things like that here on the ranch, and revamping our network and cleaning up cases, things like that. So we will be having some fun with GRI in the very near future. We've got some really great guests coming on, and just look for some good things out of us. And if you have an idea for a show, if you think that you have something, by the way, that you want to get on and talk about whatever it is your group is doing, or you've got some fascinating thing that you want to share with us, get in contact with us. Definitely get a hold of me or Kat on the show page, and you know, run your pitch by us, and we'll definitely look at having you as a guest on the show. And the final note we'll have for tonight is in early October, we're going to switch to a Friday night format. The reason for that is, I reiterated in the last show, was because we're running a paranormal team and doing full-time research and development. So the show is something we actually love, and it gets us a lot of exposure, and we will continue doing that forever as long as we can. But we're finding that to be able to actually go out on paranormal hunts, the weekends are the rule, not the exception. And so we'll definitely do our shows just prior, and Friday nights are the time to do it. So we will, again, be in October, be going to the Friday night 8 p.m. Slot if we can get that, and take that over and continue to work from there. And we'll move on with the show as a Friday night event. So I wanted to thank everybody again for listening to us. And this is GRI, Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. And let's do one last little thing. I think I'm going to find it. Kat's favorite thing, so we'll just go ahead and play this and then end the show. Thank you.
Not alive.
Yeah, I thought I'd stay on a little bit longer. So for those of you who are listening on the archive show, we're just going to do one last recap. Upcoming shows, July 31st, 10 o'clock in the evening, Pacific time. We're going to have the Bigfoot-O-Rama. We're going to look at Bigfoot trails of the Northwest, cases and recent activities of the big guy as he traverses the land, and the eternal search for food territory, probably a mate or two, and a radio host to be interviewed by. Then on August 1st at 8 o'clock p.m. standard show, we're going to have Todd, or actually Gloria Young of Ghost Trackers, who's someone I've hunted with in the past, and she's a great lady and a really, really experienced researcher. So someone really that we're very pleased to have aboard with us for that particular show. Then the following week on August 7th, the famous Todd Wolf of Wolf Manor is going to be with us August 7th at 8 o'clock in the evening. Going to be on a Friday night show just as a one-fer because we had to move that show up a little bit so that Todd could actually do it and not interfere with his broadcast, his video broadcast on August 8th, which they have their regular showing there at the Wolf Manor. So that said, we're going to go ahead and sign off and wish you guys all a great week ahead. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio signing off. Goodbye, everybody.